And welcome back to the Livingston Parish News Weekly Show-Up Podcast, brought to you by the Livingston Parish News. My name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news, and we are here with a gentleman who's kind of been through it over the past couple of months.
Yep.
Lots of things going on, but we're going to let him introduce himself real quick, and then we're going to be talking about moratoriums. So good morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm Jeff Ard. I'm the parish councilman for District 1 in Livingston Parish.
Right, and District 1 encompasses kind of the sort of north-central portion of the parish, including the town of Livingston.
Yes.
So today we are talking about a new moratorium. Y'all just passed on Thursday. There's a lot of little chewy chunks about it that we're going to talk about first, and then we're going to talk timeline. How did we end up here?
Right.
So first and foremost, let's talk about the new moratorium. You had, as a council, on a slim vote, passed a year-long moratorium a few weeks before, but that was vetoed. And we'll talk about why that was vetoed in a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit about it as we discuss some details. So let's talk about, first and foremost, the new moratorium was reduced from 352 or whatever it is in a year. Why can't I remember that?
365.
365. Good Lord. Yeah. It's Monday morning. There was a bomb threat. My mind's somewhere else. So 365 days to 160. So let's start there. Why that 160?
So I guess the controversy was, is do we enact a moratorium that goes into the next council? So we'll have a new council in about 130 days.
Right. Only three members of the current council will carry over or rerunning for their office.
Yeah. So we just didn't want to enforce that on them. We wanted to allow them to have that decision that does it need to be extended or lifted. That was probably the only suggestion that I made on this moratorium, was to go no further than the second meeting of the new council. Because I didn't want them to have to come in the first meeting and make, that drastic of a decision. Let them come in, have a meeting, figure out what's going on. That gives them about 4 weeks to make their decision on, do we need to extend it, or are we finished with zoning? Because that's the whole purpose of this, is to get Livingston Parish zoned.
Right. And so, and we've discussed it. We're not going to dance around it. A lot of this has to do with Deer Run at the moment, but we will get into more depth on that in a minute. I do want to discuss another couple of parts of it. One is sort of the stage one, stage two preliminary meetings for developments. The particular stage that you put on this moratorium is anyone who has not had a stage one meeting. So tell us a little bit about what's stage one, what's stage two. I know that there's a difference between the two financially. Obviously, yes. If you've reached stage two, more money has been spent. So tell us a little bit about the difference between the two and why you picked stage one.
So stage one, they come in, they give planning their plan. This is what we're going to build. This is what we're going to develop. Planning gives them the rules for that area, everything they need to do. And they basically tell them, design your development. They at that point, they go start paying engineers to do their drawings. I mean, they're spending money at this point, and they're spending them according to what our laws are at the moment they come in for that meeting. So I felt like if we did anything past that, I mean, we're basically pulling the rug out from under them. Once we've told someone start spending money, we kind of got to go with what they're doing at that time. It's kind of like you walk in and you buy a car. I'm going to spend my money on it. And then when you go pick it up, well, we changed everything on it. We're not going to let you have the radio in it now. And, no air conditioning now, we're changing all the rules.
Right.
And there was some, developers and contractors that got up and talked in the meeting where they the ones that brought it up. The way the original moratorium that was proposed said, basically, after if you haven't got to stage three, which is when you actually get your drawing stamped. Well, at that point, he could have already spent $100,000. And you're going to tell me, wait a minute, we're going to stop you at that point. We're going to go change the rules. And now you got to redesign and start all over again. I just don't think that's fair. I really don't. I mean, they came in, they followed our rules at the time the rules were there. They spent their money accordingly, and we shouldn't pull the rug out from under them.
Sure. And so, you know, we're well, actually, there's one more point that I'd like to discuss, which is the what kinds of development the moratorium actually affects. There was some discussion Thursday on allowing at least some people to come to planning and zoning with specific types of development. You know, something that was brought up was commercial development like a Buc-ee's, right? Yep. You don't want to throw those people away.
Correct.
Or perhaps a developer would come in that says, I want to do a big subdivision, but I'm also going to build a school for the school board, something like that. So y'all were leaving the door open for your discretion. So this is a two-part question. We're going to start with the simple part. What are the things that are affected and are not affected by the moratorium? And then I'm going to ask you a little more about the, I guess, the back door, you could call it.
Okay. Well, you know, we originally had commercial in it. That was taken out. So commercial development, just like you said, you have a good commercial development comes through the area looking. Last thing we want is to lose that because we're under a moratorium on commercial. You know, the only way commercial could really impact us is if we were building another Jubin Crossing somewhere, you know, some huge commercial development. But we would know about that. That's not something that's just going to pop up overnight, you know. But you wouldn't want to lose like a Buc-ee's or, you know, something like that happen to be coming through. You don't want to be under a moratorium and it goes to the next parish. So that was the reason commercial was taken out. The other one said for 50 lots or more or 100 acres, and we just decided to go with. Subdivisions with improvements. So anything with 10 lots or more is shut down. Subdivisions with 9 lots or less are okay to go. So you can still do that. Individual houses, you can still build. You know, we weren't trying to stop that down. You know, our big problem is our big developments. We have went last year and changed all our ordinances and we've made them very strict. We're probably one of the strictest in the state right now. With what we've changed, we've even got a few things we need to go look at and see that do we need to taper this down or is there something we need to make even stricter? And you know, I've been begging for 2 months. Why are we not looking at this? You know, I've said it in an ordinance meeting. I've even said it in a council meeting. When are we going to put ordinance 125 back on the agenda and start talking about it? Everybody keeps saying we need to fix it. We need to fix it, but I don't see any action. I don't see anything being done.
Right. Well, you know, and for the audience, I mean, would you kind of elaborate on what 125 is?
So 125 is actually our building ordinance for subdivisions with and without improvements. So it basically tells them how they have to design it, all the studies they have to do, the stages they need to go through, 1, 2, 3, wetlands determination. I mean, everything that has to do with developing. It, you know, that's the ordinance that you follow.
Sure. And so getting into what y'all proposed on Thursday, it was a unanimous vote. There were 3 members absent, including Gary Frog Talbert from District 2, Aaron Sandifer from District 5, and Randy DeLatt from District 8. But in a 6-0 vote, y'all passed it. And part of the new ordinance for the moratorium was that it was adopted upon acceptance unless Parish President Leighton Ricks vetoed it. But I understand he contacted you. Well, both you and I believe
John Wascom.
Yes. John Wascom said that he had told you beforehand he would sign it as long as it looked how it looked when you mm-hmm. passed it. And I believe he did.
Yes. Yeah. He actually signed it that night.
Okay. So that is currently in force. Let's real quick, you had a discussion, you told me, right before we started recording with Sam DiGirolamo at Department of Public Works and Permitting, mm-hmm. Asking him how many, y'all have been having a moratorium discussion for just over a month now.
Mm-hmm.
You had discussed with him on the phone how many developments have sort of started rushing through the door since this moratorium was proposed. And again, we'll talk more about the vetoed one in a second, but how many of them are there?
So what Sam is telling me is there's 15 that has recently come through his office. Of the 15, he's thinking three or four brand new subdivisions. The rest of them are just resubmittals. So they've already been through the process. They're just resubmitting it because they might have to follow some of the new ordinances because of how long it's been. So, I mean, all of these were already on the books. And, you know, there's a misconception out there that when we started talking moratorium, that we opened the floodgate, the Wild Wild West. But that's not the case. Nothing has changed from last year when we lifted the moratorium when we were changing the ordinance for 125 up until now. They've had a solid year to submit any subdivision they wanted as long as they were following the new ordinances. So it's not like we just all of a sudden opened the floodgate. I mean, they've been allowed to do it for a solid year now.
Right. And as you said, not much has changed. Now, going back to the original moratorium, y'all tried to pass that, again, passed on a slim vote. That was for a year, and Parish President Leighton Ricks vetoed that.
Right.
So let's get into the timeline and discussion of why. And a lot of it hinged upon, you can go back to the adoption of the zoning map for District 5.
Right.
That was challenged in court and by the developer Ascension Properties for the development we mentioned, Deer Run. And it was eventually, with regard to the actual zoning map, there were sort of two parts to that lawsuit. There was a piece of it where the judge ruled on the zoning and the zoning map. And then there was a piece of it where there was a settlement between the developer and the parish. Let's first talk about the result of the lawsuit with regard to the zoning map. So tell us a little bit about that.
So when the zoning map was presented by Councilwoman Ms. Sanford, I voted for it. You know, there were some things I didn't really agree with, but I felt like she was the voice of that district. And she was the one that went out there and spoke to everybody. And we tried to really get the public involved with zoning our parish. That's what we wanted. We wanted to hear from the people. So I agreed with it. I voted with it. I think it was six of us that voted for it that night. And we were basically told we could do it that way as long as we were not challenged. Well, we were challenged. It didn't win. I've even got court filing right here where the judge basically says District 5 is invalid, null, and void, such as it is enforceable. You know, well, I mean, that's pretty forward right there. You know, that means we didn't do it right. Now, does that mean the map is wrong? It does not mean the map is wrong. I think it's just the way that we brought it into law. We didn't follow the state statute of how to do that. So there will be some discussion on that, I'm sure, with the professional that we have. And, you know, he's, from what I'm understanding, he's thinking about 80% of what we have is good, you know, so he's, but he's going to take him a little time to get it all right and fix it. So, you know, that kind of was the back and forth on that. And like I said, I supported it. You know, when Mr. Harris was going through his troubles, I stepped up and helped him as much as I could. You know, I went to meetings with AFA for Mr. Harris and tried to help with getting all the zoning maps done because that's where we were in the thick of it. And then when Ms. Sanford came along, I just kind of stepped back and let her have it. You know, I mean, look, it's yours now. If you need anything, call me. I was also the one that me and Councilman Gerlinghaus were the ones that, you know, very forcefully said that we need to support Bubba Harris's decision to put Ms. Sanford in that position. And it passed 8-1 that night for her to take over.
Sure.
You know, so, you know, there's some, you know, stuff being said out there that I'm fighting District 5. I'm against District 5. And I'm not. I'm just trying to follow the law. That's
sure.
All I'm trying to do, you know, and If somebody can give me a legal reason of how I can fight this and vote for it, I absolutely will. But I went against the law on the zoning map, and I got hit with a lawsuit, a personal lawsuit. You know, so what I'm going to do is follow the law. Whatever the law says to do, that's how I'm going to vote, and that's what I'm going to do.
Right. So we discussed that, and I'm going to borrow this real quick because this the lawsuit we were just discussing was in federal court. That's going to be case number 323-CV-00340-SDD-EWD. That was in the Middle District Court. That's in Baton Rouge. Michelle Dick presided over that. From that, and you've already sort of leaned into the next step here, there were some personal lawsuits that were eventually settled. I also do want to mention one thing. You brought up the Mr. Villavasso, who is the person of record y'all brought in to help with zoning. He did help you sort of put together this new ordinance, correct?
Yes.
That passed last Thursday.
Yes.
He had input on that. Okay. Wanted to make sure we got there. So with regard to the settlement, one of the things that was required by the settlement, I mean, it's a legal document, was that Deer Run could move forward unobjected by any sort of moratorium or unhindered by any sort of moratorium or anything like that. I believe you have it highlighted there. Yes. If you want to read it.
Yes. So in the settlement, this is number 66. It says, each party that executes this agreement acknowledges that it would be in breach of this agreement by such party and an interference with the purpose of this agreement to propose, enable, support, or otherwise a moratorium that would affect the property. So the way it was written, it could be used against Deer Run. So there were five of us that we could not vote for that moratorium.
Right, and you're talking about the original year.
The original, yeah, the original one that was proposed. We couldn't vote for it. You know, it wasn't that we weren't for a moratorium. It was just the way it was written. We could not support that because of this agreement. It would put us in breach of contract.
Right.
You know, and I even reached out to Mr. Villavasso and said, hey, can we just exclude Deer Run? And then that way we could vote for it. And he said, no. Because then you're going to have other subdivisions that's going to come with lawsuits and saying, well, why wasn't I excluded? You know, so that's why I just, well, I got to vote against it. I can't vote for it, you know. And one of the things is when this original one was proposed, you know, when I proposed mine, I was accused of not contacting other councilmen. I was never contacted on this one. Nobody called me. Nobody said, hey, how do you feel about this? I just had a moratorium that I needed to vote on. And I had to go do my homework. And I knew this was in the contract, you know, so I had to go find out, could this be imposed on Deer Run? And yes, it could. Okay, well, I cannot vote for that.
Right.
You know, but I feel like it was my duty that when I saw it to go find out what was going on and what I needed to do. I didn't feel like it was their job to call me and ask me if I had a problem with it. You know, I needed to do my job. So when I proposed the moratorium that I introduced, I felt the same way. If a councilman had a problem with it, all they had to do was call and talk to me, you know? And I did get calls from four or five of them, but some of them did not call me at all. Mm-hmm. But I was accused in the meeting of not calling them. Well, if you have a problem with something, you got to take the initiative to make that connection.
Sure. It's a two-way street.
Yeah.
So when we're discussing the settlement, you know, that piece sort of precluded y'all from, you know, that's why you picked the stage one portion of it.
Correct.
Right? Because Deer Run was already
past that.
And so that helped y'all segregate that out and you didn't have to worry about it. But part of the settlement with Ascension Properties did include changes to the development, which were praised by Parish President Leighton Ricks when the settlement came out. And you spoke about them earlier as we were discussing some things before we started. So if you would please tell us about a couple of the pieces of the settlement that make at least members of the council and Parish President Leighton Ricks a little more sanguine about this new development.
Yeah. So some of the things that I could recall, I mean, I know there's a fourth entrance that they have to do. There's 1,200 acres that's kind of along the river They're going to break them up into 2 600-acre tracts. They're not going to be developed. They're going to stay. I think they're going to probably sell them as 2 600-acre tracts, but they cannot be developed. There was a lot of apartments that were going to be in there. I don't remember the number, but the apartments changed to townhomes, and the townhomes will be sold. They will not be rented. And the biggest one is they have to follow the 20% reduction on the drainage on the outflow. We're kind of think that's a big win in that area because I kind of don't think they could have fought it and not done it, but they agreed to do it.
Because that was something that y'all had worked on while this was all going on.
Correct.
So they're retroactively adding that to their property plat.
Yeah. They're going back and they're agreeing to follow the new ordinance that we have ready. Now, I don't know if they're doing it 100% to the T of the new ordinance, but all the heavy hitting items of the ordinance, they are addressing and doing them.
Sure. So you talked about traffic and drainage. Anything else that comes to mind?
I know there's an issue with the sewer, and that's between them and the city of Denham, and if Denham denies it, they might have a problem.
Sure.
And I have heard that, they haven't gotten their letter from Denham. Okay. But they haven't been denied either.
Right.
So until they are denied, they're still looking into it.
Sure.
It's the same way with traffic study. The traffic studies were done through the state.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard for me to go drive on 4-H Club Road and see there's a traffic problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know there's a traffic problem, but we don't do the study. The state does the study. And they're saying that they all pass. All their pinch points of where they do the studies pass. If any of these entities came up and said it failed, well, now we can say denied.
Right.
Because it failed. But we don't have that authority on them studies to deny it. I mean, even the drainage, there's a drainage district they go through. We need that drainage district to say ain't gonna happen.
Right. Kind of jumping up to a 32,000 foot level here, what you're saying is a lot of this goes through planning. It's still not planning and zoning yet because we don't have parish-wide zoning, but you have a planning department. They have a meeting monthly. They discuss these things, and a lot of times what y'all are waiting for is, test results, study results, everything to get compiled, and then they hand them to you, and it's either red light, green light at that point.
Right, and that is actually what is stage two.
Right.
So a little while ago, we talked about stage one. Stage two is when they bring all their studies back. And then our review engineer reviews them. If the study showed some type of fail, they'll give them something they can do. It might be widen a road, clean out a canal, put in a bigger culvert, whatever it might take for it to be a pass. And if the developer agrees to do it, then they move on to get everything prepared for stage three.
Okay. So I'm kind of bringing this train into the station here. A lot of people feel like Deer Run should be fought, but at this point there's a settlement out of federal court that states that Deer Run is going to move forward. What would you say to those people who are coming to you like, we have to fight this, we have to fight this, we have to fight this? What's your response to them?
If I had a legal way to fight it, I absolutely would. I would deny if I could deny. But I mean, we've got a federal judge saying we just can't win. We're kind of out of options at this point. And there's just nothing in there that says I can just deny something because I don't want it. That's just not part of the process. And I've always said we need to make our laws stricter. We need to change them. And it gets to where we don't focus on that and we start fighting political fights and political grandstanding and just it's not getting done. Now, I will say last year, as a group, for about 60 days under a moratorium, we worked our tails off. Everybody put their input in. We changed them ordinances. We made them stricter for this parish. I mean, I've had developers that's even told me, you don't need a moratorium. Your ordinances are so strict. We're still trying to figure out how to build. Plus the market is helping us right now. I mean, the market's ridiculous. People just aren't building houses right now. You know, nobody's spending money. So it's a good time for us to take this pause. Let the professional get our zoning done in our parish. And while he is doing that, we should be opening 125 back up and figuring out what else do we need to do. And I just don't see that happening. And I've done asked twice. Let's put this on the agenda and let's work on it. And it's just not there.
Sure. So, as you said, the things that y'all are looking for is Mr. Villavasso to finish looking at your zoning maps, zoning ordinances, make sure they're all appropriate, and then trying to reintroduce them the appropriate way. Mm-hmm. And then looking back at your building code / ordinance, you know, and yep. how that can be tightened up. Now, you said you thought it was already pretty tight. You think it should be tighter?
There's probably a few things that we need to look at that we could tighten up a little bit, but there are some things that we might have went a little overboard on that because we've been given a lot of waivers. And typically when you give a lot of waivers, you need to look back into it and see why. Why are we having to give so many waivers on this? You know, is it something we need to change? And I don't really like giving waivers. You know, I do realize that there are some times where you just run into a situation where, you know, you do need to give a waiver, but I really don't like them. I would rather us just fix our ordinances where we don't have to give so many.
Right. Well, is there anything you'd like to say to wrap this up, sir?
I want everybody to know that the whole purpose of this moratorium is to get Livingston Parish zoned. We have hired a professional. The council agreed the night we hired it to get out of his way and allow him to do his job. I don't feel we're doing that. We're not letting him do his job. We need to just step back, let this professional go do what he does best and bring his plan to us, and then we will get involved. But right now, we really need to just step back and let him do what he's doing. I mean, I know there's a controversial going on right now with the lawyer we hired for zoning. But I think the lawyer's being used for things other than what he was hired for. I even have the contract for him right here where it basically says that we're taking him for legal services regarding zoning and whether what we have already implemented was done correctly. That's it. We didn't hire him to fight Deer Run. We didn't hire him to talk with other lawyers. We hired him to help make our zoning legal in Livingston Parish. That's what we want from the lawyer. We want the professional to write the zoning plan for our parish. That's what we need from them two guys. And we need to get out of the way and allow them to do their job.
Well, what is the name of the lawyer?
Stephen Irving.
Okay. And so if you will reintroduce yourself, sir, as we head on out.
Jeff Ard, Councilman for District 1.
And my name is McHugh David, publisher and editor of the news. Appreciate this gentleman for taking his time on a Monday morning to come talk to us about the new moratorium and some of the reasons that it came out the way that it did. Please remember the news is on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. We are once a week in print on Thursdays at $7 a month to get that in your mailbox. We're also online, www.livingstonparishnews.com. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next time.